Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. I thank the Lord for everything he has to say from his heart. Our God is watching over us. He's a blessing to us. He lets us know what's coming down the pipe. And he helps us to make the best future judgments. Everything that he says can help us and aid us in life. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And the people of God, the church, those who believe on Jesus Christ, they can do startling things and don't know it. We can do so much more than we realize. Because if we can trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing we can't do. There's nothing we can't finish. And there's nothing we can't bring forth. The Lord said about sinners that was building a tower. He said, lo, the people are one. And nothing would be impossible to them. Let us go down and confound their language. God had to interrupt people when they were one. Now, what if we are one with God's will? What can we accomplish if you and I are one doing God's plan? See, when the Lord reveals something, the devil's automatically afraid of it. He's not afraid of a man by himself, and he's just like he's not afraid of he wasn't afraid to defy God. But he is afraid of man operating with God on the earth, because we can shut down all of his operations. The more people get saved and follow and learn to follow God, the more we can shut down of his operations. Now, the previous broadcast, I talked about how I learned to follow God. And it was a combination of events that helped me get to the point where I knew where I knew it was necessary. The Lord plainly told me that the biggest problem in the church is his people don't follow him. But I could relate to following God because of the way the Lord arranged things. I talked about how Carolyn Stevens read that scripture in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that word got in my heart. And Elder Lewis used to preach by the Holy Spirit. Greg Hosey used to pray and usher people into the presence of God when he did praise service. I saw people following God. Now, following God is not it can take us far. But in order to follow God, you have to learn to trust God. In order to trust God, you have to be able to operate by faith. You have to be able to take him at his word. Receive what the word says and do it. Faith is the action side of trust. And trust always requires action. But trust itself is a noun. It's a state of being. It's reliance. And you're relying on God. And because you're relying on God, you act on his word by your faith. See, the just shall live by his faith. With all these things in place, you know, making a long story short, you just obey what the Lord give you to do and put your heart in it. Never do God's will reluctantly. Do it with great joy. And remember, Your relationship with the Lord is first. Everything that all the wonderful blessings afterwards is a bonus. Every relationship that gets healed, all of your children, your wife, everyone, all the wonderful blessings that the Lord give you, they're very important to you. But your relationship with the Lord, if it's first, you're going to have a lot of good bonuses. Stable bonuses. Your house will be well protected as you live under the counsel of God. And everybody's path is different. But very important. So as we do the perfect will of God, many things are going to change. Many things are going to happen. And the Lord knows what he's doing. Can we trust him? Yes, we can. Now, The Lord wants to do greater works. In order to do it, because he takes us at our own pace, we need to cooperate so we can go forward and pick up our pace. It's necessary for us to be strong in the Lord and mighty in him. It's necessary for us to do his perfect will. It's necessary for us to be mature. And if we can be mature in the Lord, we can do all. I mean, there's no limits. The Lord is foundational. So if we are willing to become foundational ourselves, then he can build a work. He can cause us to do a work that can't be stopped. And I love that. I like winning. I like doing it God's way. I like the greater works of God. Now, we've been studying how the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And we made it down to the church at Thyatira. We covered the church at Ephesus and Smyrna and then Pergamos. And these are great churches. And God gave them great things by the Holy Spirit. Now, the church at Thyatira, this is Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. He said, "Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first." He knows their works, and they're doing the work. He said, verse 20, now this is a word of knowledge by the Holy Spirit. They didn't see Jesus looking at them, but Jesus knew what they were doing by the Holy Spirit. And John is writing these things by the guidance of God, because he was commanded to write to them. This meant that that word is going to get to them some kind of way. Because the Lord don't do something for nothing. If the Lord give you anything to do, it's going to work out. You got to use your faith to get the job done. He said, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her a space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." He said, "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now let's look at this. This is the Lord is saying a lot here. He gave them a lot of information. The church at Thyatira, it represented a people who came from a lustful background. See, when people get saved, their urges and their desires and their whatever they did is still, those things still desire to be a part of their life. And their mind is used to it. And the Lord's telling them, no, don't do that. All right. The way to overcome something See, these things were already a struggle to him. And then, just like Jezebel, a rebellious woman, he said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Just like Jezebel stirred up Ahab to be seduced by Baal worship, and that became the religion, and they murdered the true prophets. That's what, see, sin causes people to be an enemy to God. The enemy used this woman to be a curse and a snare to the people of God because of their works and their charity. They had a lot of love, they had a lot of service and faith and patience, and they had a lot of works because of it. So the enemy had to find a way to shut it down. He's tried to find a way to shut it down. They come from a lustful background. So, see, the enemy enters our lives through our weaknesses, hurts, and our fears. So whatever was a great weakness to you, just like the children of Israel, you have to drive out the Canaanites. You can't afford to let it linger in the back of your mind. Don't be afraid of it, because fear is a surrendering belief. Faith is a belief also, but it's a directive belief. Your faith is a definer. You can speak God's promises to be in your life by your faith, because God gave you promises. You can believe him for those promises, and you can speak it in your life and change the facts and the reality on the ground where you are on the earth, in your life, in real time. Because faith looks to God and accepts his word as truth. Faith believes every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Faith is real time, currently looking at God. And trust comes because he rapport is developed because God was good in the past. You acted on your faith. God kept his word. Now you have a reason to trust God in the future. You have faith now because faith looks at God right now towards the future. And trust believes God and takes him at his word for the future. See, faith is just like we said earlier. Trust is a noun. Faith is a verb. Faith acts on God's word. And these people had it. They had works because they had love, which is charity. Charity is active love, not passive love. Charity is active love. That's the love you act on. You want your brother saved, you go tell him about Jesus. Charity is a better form of love. That's the love you act on. And service. Now, they didn't mind taking the low road. They didn't mind being abased. I learned something about being abased. Paul said, I know I can do all things through Christ. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. And I gave the story about a Jewish guy who got saved. And his grandfather was a rabbi. He was high ranking in their religion. And he wanted his son to be a rabbi. And he ended up becoming a Christian, and his grandfather disowned him. And because he had love and charity, he was out witnessing after he got off work. His employers found out about it and fired him and froze his assets, froze his pension, and didn't give him his last paycheck, and there was nothing he could do about it legally. And it was hard for him to find a job, so time went by. He couldn't find a job making the kind of money he was making. And the Lord told him that if you don't work, you don't eat. And he went and found a job that didn't care what he believed. He ended up washing dishes at some restaurant. He learned how to be abased. And his boss didn't even like him and was mean to him. If I remember right, he was mean to him. But he served that boss. He was serving God under the most extreme conditions. A Jewish man working for a Palestinian man that hated him. And he was a Christian. But the man that was, you know, nobody likes the Christians over there. So, but he was a Christian man, and he did it God's way and prospered and became very effective. See, sometimes you don't have to start with the best. Lucifer tries to excel and become preeminent. But we don't mind taking the low road and serving mankind, even though they're wrong, even though they treat us wrong. Because our love supersedes their evil. And there's a lot of evil out there. But if you do it God's way, you can grow properly with foundation. And you're going to learn things along the way. See, the Lord is not wasteful. Whatever he do, he does it well. He can take an opportunity and train you. Now, sometimes you have to take what you can get and make it great. It's wonderful when everything goes your way. You get the good job. It's easy going. But whatever you have to do, I don't mind serving mankind because I love people. Every job I ever had, I would work as unto God. And they always said, man, slow down the pace. They're going to expect more out of us. But that's just not me. That's not what God said do. I believe in working as unto God, not unto men. Not in the fashion that people work unto men. I believe in working as unto God. Because it works. It's God's way. It's my way now. And that's the way to be. And I'm not going to stop. I desire to be faithful. And when people go lazy, they're more like Lucifer. Lucifer wants to be served. But the people of God, they have a lot of love and they want to serve. Jesus said, I know thy works and thy charity and service and faith and thy patience. See, they expected greater. Patience always expects more. And thy works, and the last to be more than the first. All right, he said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because you suffer the woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophet, prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. The devil don't tempt you with people that he made. He tempts you with people that God made. Men and women are attracted to each other naturally. And there's always going to be somebody out there that you can be attracted to. But lust cares nothing about them. Love does. Love sees things God's way. Love wants to be a blessing to people, not a curse. Not use people for their own gain. Lust doesn't care about using people for their own gain. Lust is evil. So she's teaching people to commit fornication, which has nothing to do with the love that they had. It was a defilement. It was something to stop the whole thing from working. Because that kind of sin will turn you into God's enemy. And look at what God did. He said, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. When I see the Lord willing to forgive somebody of such a hideous crime, it's the Lord knows that we don't have all the facts. Jezebel didn't know that the devil was setting her up for the real kill. And the Lord had mercy on her. I could see her at the end of her life in hell, destroyed, saying, Lord, why didn't you correct me? Why didn't you help me change my path? Why didn't you give me a chance to get out of this wickedness? And the Lord agrees with that. He did give her a chance. This message to us says that God is not willing to just throw us away because we are deceived into doing something. We don't have a, we can't see the enemy out there setting us up. He does it so slow, it's almost normal. But it's not. His temptation works so slow, you'll think your will is his will. He tempts you a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, a little suggestion here. And if you don't challenge it, you have to stop it. This didn't happen in one day. The first time she started her message, I believe, they probably resisted it. But over time, they suffered it. They didn't say nothing. They didn't do anything. Remember, everything that the devil does and says, it looks good and it sounds good from a certain point of view. It's a seduction. It's trying to get you to change your opinion. And the, you know, when Adam first bit off the tree, he didn't start feeling bad. The glory of God left. He saw shadows for the first time because he was clothed in the glory of God. He knew something was wrong. And death started working in him. And the death, and he felt great. Until a few hundred years went by. He started looking funny. He didn't look the same. He didn't feel as good. And he had a reference for death because God put him in a restored world. There were still traces of death that he so he could understand what death was. The earth was once alive. God flooded it in the flood of Satan, of Lucifer. And then God restored it, gave it to Adam. So he understood, he had a reference for death. He saw the bones of dead animals. And the Lord told him what happened. Now he's dying because he ate off the tree. So seduction don't, death is working in us now. In our bodies. Because God hadn't destroyed that enemy yet. But we have healing to sustain and bless our lives along the way, along the path of this life. We don't just die just because we sin is here. It's a slow process. So it is with deception. And the Lord was patient. Gave her a chance to repent. And he said, and she didn't, and she repented not. So now he says, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now look at this word, great tribulation. There are many Christians right now doing what they did in Thyatira, and they're going to go through the great tribulation because of it. They wouldn't repent. And now they're going to go into great tribulation because they won't repent. That churches nowadays are allowing fornication and adultery like never before. And now they have a hyper grace doctrine. Once saved, always saved, no matter what you do. They're abusing, they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They written themselves a license to sin. They're going to be left here when the rapture happens. God's going to leave them right here. And he sent the Ugandan pastor, you can look at him on YouTube, to warn us of this. Very same thing. Read that again. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. The only way out of this mess, you got to repent now. Because the rapture is going to happen very soon. Quickly and without warning. Any day now. Some people expect it this year. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I know it's soon. The Lord told me that that his return is imminent. Tell my people to be right with me. That they be not left. Some people are still seeing it. And they're going to get left. Seriously. Then they're going to want to repent after they've gotten left. And it's going to be so bad they're going to want to kill themselves, and they can't. Well, kill the problem now. That's what people need to do. He said, and I will kill her children with death, And the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the heart and hearts, and will give unto every one of you according to your works. If you can rebel against God, I've seen it so many ways. Parents that just rebel against God, they raise children that rebel against God. Now, they're in the light and they're doing darkness. What kind of children you think they're going to have? There are parents who disrespect the pastor before their children. At the dinner table, they run the pastor down. Those children are going to be worse. Unless they really draw near to the Lord and look at the Lord beyond their parents. It's a dangerous thing to disrespect any work of the Holy Spirit. Because those that the lies that's watching you and learning, they're learning to be like you. They're going to see God on through the same glasses you're wearing. If you're looking at God in shaded glasses, they're going to look at him in even more shaded glasses. If it's okay to talk about the people of God in a negative way and tear them down, then it's all right in their eyes. And this is not good. This is not God's will for people to live in resistance to the Holy Spirit. And they knew better. He said, I will kill her children with death. And this is a blessing because their poison is going to be like a cancer. And they are married death because they're doing evil and wickedness like their parents. And the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. Now this, and that won't happen. None of this happens promptly. Because God, every individual has to make, God give them a space of time to repent. And they he don't just kill people. You have to do things that merit it. But they will do things that merit it because their parents didn't repent and harden their heart. Now, after this letter was read in Thyatira, the most rebellious people hardened their heart and did it that way anyway, without regard, because their heart had gotten so hard against the things of God. The corruption had already turned them into God's enemy, and they wouldn't repent. Hopefully, they all repented. But if they didn't repent after hearing this word, they didn't care about repenting. Continuing, he said, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts, and will give unto every one of you according to your works. This is a word of counsel by the Holy Spirit. The first part was a word of knowledge. He knew their works. All the way down to until he started telling them what to do. He showed his wisdom. And in verse 21, he started counseling. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. That shows God's will. Behold, I will cast her into a bed within them. They commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. He's showing what God is going to do. He's showing them that's the fear of the Lord. This is going to help them fear God. I will kill her children with death, and the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. A word of wisdom. In verse 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. He's showing, he's strengthening the others. They were resilient to the evil. They never entered into her doctrine. They stayed true. So this is a spirit of might. He's saying things that will strengthen them. Verse 25, but that which But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. This is also the spirit of might and wisdom and counsel. He that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Might, counsel, wisdom. See, every time Jesus spoke something, that word charged their heart to strengthen them. Because God is so good to us. We receive strength from hearing the words of God as he speaks by the Holy Spirit. He said, and I will give him of the morning star. This meant a lot to him too. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. When we read these things, it strengthens us. And the Lord has so much to say. To be resilient to the evil and do what's right. That pleases God. And then the reverse is true. Your children will not be killed with death. They're going to be strengthened. You're leaving a legacy for them when others are leaving hurdles before their children. So your children are going to hate evil just like you hated it, in a greater way too. If you stand, your children are going to stand because you train them right. We bear fruit after our kind, and we always will. Not only that, spiritual fruit as well. Even now, I got a friend, he's a pastor and single. And now there are women preachers that try to sleep with him. See, the doctrine of Jezebel is out there. We have to do what's right because it's right. Because we truly love God. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to move in your life and teach you all.